sand.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness. I'm Pastor Tom Baker. It's a Rumination Tuesday on this September the 11th in the year of our Lord 2018. With me is Pastor Mark Smith, and this is September the 11th. So what does that remind you of, Pastor?
Reminds us of that really dark day, 9/11, back in 2001. Well, I'll never forget it, yeah. Never forget it.
When?
When, of course, we were attacked. The World Trade Towers,
right,
down in Manhattan, and then, of course, the Pentagon. And, of course, we fought back with the plane that landed in the field of Pennsylvania.
Yes, I was listening to a gentleman this morning who said he had visited that field. He didn't give the description. It was kind of just a barren and such, but the whole time he was there, he was weeping.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's moving. I was just listening to, yeah, you know, it moved me to tears. They were talking about how President Bush was first informed and the
right
expression on his face, and what were his first words? What were the words as he climbed up on that that crushed fire engine and used the bullhorn, you know, united a nation.
It did really unite the nation. We're really divided right now between the two parties. And somebody said, you know, he doesn't wish it, but he thinks the only thing that could bring us all together again is another similar tragedy.
Yeah, but we don't need that. We sure don't want that.
And I don't agree. That won't bring us together. No, the pro-abortion people are so strong on that. Nothing will ever change their minds. And it's just... The worst day, I believe, wasn't in 2011, but in 1973, was it?
Yeah, when 1973.
Roe v. Wade.
You're talking about the pro-abortion. You're talking about the people that want abortion.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
The ones who, when the Supreme Court okayed that, that was the beginning of the division in this country that will never end. It just won't.
Well, I understand that the tide is turning, especially with the youth of today. The youth of today are waking up to the injustice against the unborn. So there is a tide that's turning on that. Now, whether it, I don't know, you know.
Whether the Supreme Court will reverse what they did. They have done it many a number of times.
Well, you look at when England finally outlawed the slave trade, and
yes,
you know, when that happened, I mean, now you wouldn't think of anything like that going on.
No, although it does go on a lot.
So with God, nothing is impossible.
No, and I agree with that. But
you're right, it would really take something to...
Well, it'd take the Supreme Court to reverse it on the basis of how ridiculous was the foundation it was done upon. You know, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, there was some real unity at the time of the 9/11, but that didn't last long either.
No,
because many felt that President Bush had been illegally, or in a way that wasn't appropriate, elected as president, and they just didn't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with President Trump, boy, look at all the activity against him and statements made against him that wouldn't... I don't remember being made against other presidents.
Well, Lincoln. You know, Lincoln was despised.
Well, that's true.
He was despised. If you can imagine that, who would imagine that today? But
yes.
He was very much despised, almost assassinated on the way to Washington.
Yes. In fact, you hit it really good when you talked about that day of darkness, because the hymn we're looking at is Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. So let's see how that deals with 9/11. If you'd read the first stanza, please.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoners, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease, calming storms and feeding thousands with the very bread of peace.
You know, this is under what they call society. If you look at the top of the page.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I think it should be under Epiphany.
Yeah, that's you're right. Epiphany talks about the light.
And
light
all
of
those
the
miracles.
Yeah, right. You're right.
And
it is. It could be used as an Epiphany hymn.
Yes, because it has one after the other. By the way, this was not in the old hymnal.
No.
So I was unable to find out much about this Rusty Edwards. Now, he was born in 1955, who wrote this. He's probably still alive.
Yeah.
Because he'd only be about 62 years old. And but it's from Hope Publishing Company. And every now and then they put in things from Hope. It's got some hymns that they appreciated and put in the hymnal. But Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. There are many, many metaphors that God uses to describe himself, like, I'm the bread of life, I am the light, I am the door, etc. How do you understand what he means by breaking the darkness?
Well, of course, the darkness of sin, death, eternal death and damnation. He's broken that curtain that divided the holy place from the most holy place in the temple. Remember
right.
how that curtain was cut in two? And in doing so, he broke down the barrier of sin that divided us between God and man.
Yes. Now, I have an understanding of the breaking of that curtain. I got it from Martin Charlemagne. That I often would say once the curtain was torn, it meant that now we as human beings could enter into the Holy of Holies. But he said, no, it meant that God left the Holy of Holies and entered into us.
Uh-huh. And we've become his temples.
That's
temple
right.
of the Holy Spirit.
Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, that temple was then destroyed in 70 AD.
Right. That's right. No longer serves its purpose.
Right. So breaking the darkness is explained a little bit after it, with a liberating light. Now, the only problem I have with the English word light there is it should be capitalized.
With a liberating light, yes. Probably should.
Because who's it referring to?
It's the light of Christ.
Yes, Jesus himself.
The true light.
And
light of the world.
It talks about how the darkness is broken with two somewhat interesting. The one frees the prisoners, and the other turns blindness into sight. Of all the senses to lose, for me, that would be the worst.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Sight.
But, you know, I had two blind people in my congregation.
Right.
The Prince of Peace Lutheran Church. One was blind from birth.
Yes.
And then, of course, you know, pastor, I'm trying to think of the pastor who's blind. You know, they feel pretty empowered. In fact, I remember one of those blind people I'm talking about, she insisted that it's not as, you know, she thought that being deaf would be even worse.
Really?
Yeah, she had become so used to being without sight that she couldn't bear the thought of not hearing people.
Yes. When people are losing, like deaf people really learn to read lips sometimes.
Right.
Although I was thinking, boy, recently I was driving and heard a siren and I slowed down and sure enough, the fire engine went right through the red light that he was at. And I was thinking, boy, if I was deaf, I wouldn't have heard that.
That's right.
So do deaf people drive differently, I wonder? I mean, do they, every intersection, do they look? Or because they can't hear.
I would, well, even, I'd have to ask. Even these emergency vehicles, they slow down a little bit as they approach. You know, they carefully approach these intersections. If you ever watch them, they don't just barrel right through.
Well, one of the things I kind of enjoy watching on YouTube are vehicle crashes. And the reason
you got a strange taste in TV, Tom.
It has really helped me to drive better. Because 80% of the crashes, the people are responsible for.
Yeah.
Whereas about 20%, like a tire jumps over a barrier and crashes. You can't stop that kind of stuff.
No.
But there were a number of police cars that were hit when they were trying to go through a red light and this sort of thing. So a lot of times, in fact, I saw one where the ambulance actually was turned over when they got hit sideways and such like that. Hopefully they were on their way to get someone and nobody was in there. But I tell you, and since I'm driving now for Uber and Lyft, they kind of keep track of tickets you get and such.
Yeah, I would think so.
So, because they don't want such drivers. In fact, after I leave here today, I'm going to the Frontenac shopping center. I had picked up five people on Saturday from a wedding, and one of them was carrying a gift, and he put it in the back of my van, and then he forgot to take it out.
Oh, boy.
So, Luis found it this morning. I phoned him, and so I'm meeting him where he's working.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and that's the second time that happened. One time, a lady left her computer in the van. And fortunately, nobody was picked up after that to take it. And so I ended up, they weren't actually living far from the headquarters here. But, you really watch your driving. And especially when you've got passengers in the car.
Sure. Of course.
You know, who understand a certain way of driving. Like one of the things you do, which I don't do when I'm driving alone, I always have both hands on the wheel.
Yes, that does help, Tom. 10 and 2.
Well, it's impossible when you're eating a cheeseburger from White Castle. How can you have both hands on the wheel? Or if you're reading. And then
reading while you're driving. Yeah, that's very safe.
I use my knees to. This is on highway, but be that as it may, that matters. Breaking the darkness, we see here, therefore, is those who are in prison. Boy, to be a prisoner, they had a show on of people who were going to jail for the first time, and they were just out of their minds. But can you imagine be putting in a solitary confinement with no light?
Ooh, yeah.
23 hours a day.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that would get old.
Well, they say a lot of them do lose their minds.
I suppose so, yes.
And, you know, suicide is a high level there. And blindness into sight. Now, the next one is interesting. Praise the one who preached the gospel, healing every dread disease. I think those are two different things. I don't want to give the impression that the gospel was done when every dreaded disease was healed. That's a different thing.
Right.
Preaching the gospel is preaching the promises that Jesus did. And so that'd be separate.
Yeah. At the same time, he was healing as well.
Yeah, every dread disease.
Right.
Which hardly ever was understood. In fact, is it this week's lessons where Jesus heals someone privately, takes that girl who has demonic possession?
Yes.
And then a number of times he says to them, don't tell anyone.
That's right. He did it in the lesson last week, gospel last week.
And you're wondering, why is he saying that? Well, he's saying that because their view of the Messiah was not the Old Testament view. It was a bread king.
Right.
You know, they wanted to make him a temporal.
Have all their physical needs provided.
Yes. And so it wasn't until after the crucifixion and resurrection that they began to really understand. Now, there were some who did before. That'd be Simeon and Anna in the temple.
Right.
But even Mary didn't get it. You know, she pondered these things in her heart. And I said recently in the sermon that when Jesus was arrested and crucified, the disciples should have gathered at the bottom of the cross with applause.
Yes, well, of course.
Yes, yeah, that sounds really odd, but finally...
It's Good Friday.
It's being fulfilled. Yes, yes, well said. Stanza 2.
Praise the one who blessed the children with a strong yet gentle word. Praise the one who drove out demons with the piercing two-edged sword. Praise the one who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand. From this well comes living water, quenching thirst in every land.
Now, how can you bless children with a strong yet gentle word? Well, what's the strong part of the word?
That'd be, I suppose, the law and the gospel.
Well...
But it's a sure and certain promise.
Yeah, I think that's the strong part.
It's a sure and certain promise. You can bank on that word. It's
one of the ways that God saves children apart from baptism. He takes the little children up in his arms, remember?
Right, and blesses them.
And he blesses them and says, of such is the...
Kingdom of God.
Yes. And how do we know how many other children he does that to? We have no idea.
No.
So... The wonderful thing about water Pentecost baptism, it has an assurance to it.
Absolutely.
That isn't found in the other methods that he uses.
That's what's so comforting about infant baptism is we can be absolutely sure. You know, those little infants, they have no capability of deceiving people. Now, an adult, you baptize an adult, you're taking him at his word that he believes. But a little child has no real capability of deception. So we know when that child is baptized, he is a child of God and heir of heaven. You'd be absolutely certain that he's on his way to heaven.
And that evidence is found in Acts 2,
right,
where it says, you know, be baptized and your little ones.
Right.
Yeah, and then also those who are near and those who are far off.
This promise is for you and your children.
Yes.
And for those that are near and far off, right?
Jew and Gentiles.
Right.
Yes. So what's this piercing two-edged sword that drives out the demons?
Well, that's the sword of God's word.
Yes. Which we find out from, is it Ephesians? Where
yes, right.
The
armor of God.
Yes.
Talks about the armor of God.
And... all of the weapons are defensive.
Except for that one. Yeah.
Yeah. The word of the Lord, which is the sword.
And you see Jesus using it against Satan in the wilderness, remember? That's how he got rid of him.
All the passages Jesus used were from Deuteronomy.
It is written.
Yes. Now, how do you understand who brings cool water to the desert's burning sand?
Well, there was a lesson.
Talking about... rain?
There was a lesson just a couple Sundays ago, or it was the Sunday before last, where it talks about the deserts he become a pool, remember?
Okay.
And, you know, that's the arrival of the Redeemer. I mean, that's the Messianic age is upon us.
I think the way you would connect that is they were thirsty,
yeah,
and the water came from the rock that Paul says is...
Christ. Rock that followed us.
That's
the rock was Christ, right.
And I think that can be the cool water to the desert's burning sand.
Well, I think it also ties in with the hope of the Gentiles that, you know, they were looked upon as a desert, a wilderness, you know, and yet he brings refreshing water even to the Gentiles.
And then it says, from this well. What's interesting about how they spelled the word well?
Did they capitalize that? Let's see. From this well, you're right. It's capital. Now there they capitalized it.
I know.
You know, you were talking earlier about praise the one who breaks the darkness with the liberating light.
Yeah.
You know, they already capitalized one.
Yeah.
So that's why they didn't capitalize the light there.
You think?
You've already got praise the one.
But if they capitalize well, they should have capitalized light.
I mean, his gospel is light.
Yes.
See? His good news is light.
But it's good news about him.
You're right, of course. You're always right, Tom.
I
should have known.
I'm taping that for my wife. Okay. Stanza 3.
Let us praise the word incarnate Christ who suffered in our place. Jesus died and rose victorious, that we may know God by grace. Let us sing for joy and gladness, seeing what our God has done. Let us praise the true Redeemer. Praise the one who makes us one. How about that? Praise the one who makes us one.
Yes. And you already mentioned Jew and Gentile.
Right.
Adult, infant. This text has, this verse really makes a point that it, even though it says that Jesus died and rose victorious, when it says, seeing what our God has done, it's not his death and resurrection that is so comforting to us, but rather the consequence of that.
Right.
And the consequence of that is in the first line. Let us praise the word incarnate. That means he became flesh. Christ who what?
Suffered in our place.
You see, just telling people about the cross and the resurrection doesn't do anything unless you tie it
to us. You know,
to us and to Christ dying in our place.
In our place. And because he arose from the dead, we too will rise on the last day.
And notice you just mentioned another promise. The promise is what comforts, not
sure.
The historical
sure.
act.
Right.
And so it's very important to make sure that when you speak of the history of the Bible, you explain the historic acts. Did you hear I'm doing a new thing on Wednesdays?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
Kind of a Bible study format for people. In fact, you were the church that you were helping out is
yes.
meeting every Wednesday and listening to your radio program and then making comments afterwards.
Yes. I told them don't listen to ours because there'd be too many questions. You know. Why does Pastor Mark always criticize you and then decide, oh, you're right? So, well, we do this all ahead of time.
We do so much prep, you wouldn't believe
it. Oh, yeah, I didn't even know this hymn wasn't in the old hymnal. I don't know who this guy is or anything. But if a congregation is interested, email me at longgospel@longgospel101.com. And we'll be only too happy to have them included. I'm trying to reach 100 or 200 congregations because so many of them, I know of congregations with pastors that don't have a Bible study during the week.
Right. So, and these people that you help out in Illinois, the congregations you help in Illinois, they're listening to your radio program?
Yeah.
Probably listening to us now. Does the broadcast go that far?
No, of course not.
Uh-huh.
They have a computer.
Oh, so they listen it online.
Yeah, for somebody who doesn't even know how to turn
yes.
one on, you got to explain. And then they have speakers on it. Yeah, that's what computers are for.
Yes, yes, I know, Tom.
You're just lucky you got a good secretary.
Well, that is true. I'm not completely computer blind.
No, but you're
pretty
giving
bad.
A sermon this week, and what are the times?
I haven't started the sermon yet. I'm going to work on it today. I was out of the office a good part yesterday. So, yes, Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, we'd love to have you Saturday at 5 p.m. or Sunday at 9 a.m.
And address?
8646 New Sappington Road. We're just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
And the parochial school you have?
Yes, Christ Community Lutheran School.
So if you're all looking.
It's an excellent school.
Excellent school. I'm Tom Baker, Mark Smith. Tomorrow, the Bible study for congregations. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.